A very good morning to you. I come into today's programme with you right through until 12 midday. We're looking at Bushey Park in Newcastle today with some wonderful guests joining us here in Cree House in Newcastle, which really is like another part of town. It's a little city unto itself. So we'll be joined by Mary Nestor, we'll be joined by Mike Gertie, Mary Coyne joins us, Martha Quinn joins us, the former postmaster and councillor Billy Cameron joins us, Seamus Davey and many others. Dave O'Connell joins us. He's a resident of Newcastle and he'll also give us the City Tribune headlines. Ken O'Sullivan will be reading some poetry for us. Mark O'Donnell joins us. He's Chief Operating Officer here at Cree. All of that and more between now and 12 midday. A very good morning to you. Comment lines are open on 086 38 33 553. It's Friday. Good morning. A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're focusing today on Bushey Park and Newcastle, and they're all together and they're joined at the hip and otherwise, but I'm joined by Mary Nestor, who joins me now in studio here in Cree. Mary, morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning, Keith, and good morning to all the listeners.
Good to talk to you again. You've been involved in the Bushey Park area all your life.
All my life. I was born in Bushey Park and lived there all my life, never left the same house. Same farm and worked there on the farm. So I've been there all my life.
And you're still actively farming there?
Oh, absolutely. Have to. No pension for farmers.
You said that to me before, yeah. And it's quite sad, really, isn't it? Yeah.
So you just have to keep going and do the best you can.
Yeah.
And it's actually a very nice place, so it is, you know. It's a good place to work.
It is, and you've, for those that don't know where Mary lives, she lives up the church there, that fine big period house looking down over the lake, and that you have a lovely location there.
It's really nice, yeah. I say they built the houses long ago. That house was built in 1740, and they built them in prime places long ago. It was built by Richard Berridge, who had Ballinahinch Castle and all along there. And he owned Galway and Mayo, so you can well imagine.
Because on a lot of the title deeds within Galway City, the Burridge name would be on them.
Yeah.
And was that his house then?
That was his house, yeah. And he had, actually, Jerry Began from Ornswell told me the story about the Guinnesses when they'd come down and they'd pull into that large dining room in the Great Southern.
Yeah.
The train went right in there. They didn't get wet. And the carriages picked them up and brought them to Dangan House, Bushey Park House, Brownville House, which is no longer there. And they stayed there overnight. And then the carriages picked them up again in the morning and brought them to the ferry road to Knock, which was now Knock Ferry.
Wow.
And they got the ferry to Ashford Castle. So there was a lot of activity in those houses.
Wasn't there? But a lot of history in it as well.
Yeah.
Would you ever come across the odd ghost now or anything?
Pardon?
Would you ever come across an odd ghost or anything in the house?
No ghost. I'm the ghost.
But you've been involved. You've been immersed in the community. You've been involved in all community matters right down through the years.
All the neighbours around, they're all wonderful. So they are. They're really great and we're involved in everything, you know, anything we can do that's good for the place.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, ongoing.
It would be fair to say that you're not afraid to speak your mind.
It would, yeah.
But that's what I like about you. You call it as it is and you call it out as it is.
Yes, it is. But I really always had a lovely lifestyle in Bushey Park. The neighbours were wonderful. Everybody helped everybody. And my neighbour across the road, Michael Mullins, was really good.
Yeah.
You know, if I was in trouble, all I had to do was go out and shout at the hall door, Michael, you know.
Yeah.
And he'd come running and cows calving and different things like that. So
his son, Vinny, joins us later on. He's a talented singer, so he is.
Yes, he is.
And a lovely young man as well.
Lovely young lad. And he comes down across, you know, how you marching and... They're very good, really very good.
And talk to me about what it was like when you were growing up there, because there was
I delivered milk. We had a dairy farm and my father got sick and I had to take over. That's how that happened.
Mm.
And I was, the other night when you did invite me on, I was going down Newcastle, naming all the houses, you know, I could still name them anyway, that we delivered milk to.
Wow.
And then we brought milk to the dairy and you came back and you finished in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And then later on, Oaklands and all around there was built.
In Salt
and some
Hill.
People moved out. So we went out to Oaklands and Devon Park and all around there delivering milk as well.
But it was must have been very sparse when you were doing that. I mean, it was yourself and the Lawlesses and the Cosgroves.
Yes, and the Maguires. They were the only houses, and Keelahan's and Flaherty's. They were the only houses that were around.
Yeah.
And the nearest house to us was Maguire's.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in between.
Wow.
And then down to Dangan. Now, there was Bonner Cranny up, you know,
in the
middle.
Yeah.
And then there was Dangan, and that was it.
Yeah.
There was nothing else.
And then the only school, there was a school on Circular Road, the Bush.
Yeah, there was a school at the church.
And then there was Bowley Vague. And that kind of covered a not huge area, didn't it?
Yeah. The school moved to Circular Road when Canon Glynn was there, actually.
Yeah.
And just a little bit further away. But it was getting bigger, and there were more people and more children down that end of the parish than other end.
But there was very little.
Very little.
It was very, very sparse.
Oh, very sparse. And there was nothing, really. Nothing. There was just the school and Keelan's shop, the church, and that was it. There was nothing else.
So, would yourself then and Mrs. Cosgrove, would the elders in the parish now?
Yeah. My grandmother, my grandfather came from Annadown. He was Martin Cosgrove. And he married Mary Lawless from Circular Road.
Mm.
And they lived in Dangan. They're still there. And the family.
Mary Lawless then would be Billy's aunt then?
Yes. No, yes, she would. And Billy's father was Billy Lawless.
Yeah.
So they were all connected there. But sure, there was nobody else around, really. It was just...
There wasn't.
Green fields, that was it.
And the Flahertys. I know the Flahertys lost a family member last night, but... And we think of them today, but it brings me back to my roots, because my roots would have been further out the road where we live. But that they had to go down to Bush Park every Sunday for Mass.
Yeah.
Horse and trap.
Bushy Park, and then it went on. Everybody lived together. I mean, I knew your mother and your uncle and your father well. Everybody knew everybody else because it was so sparse anyway.
So small.
And everybody got together and they played 25 at night. And
we're not going there. When you didn't win, or if he didn't win, or she didn't win, there was flipping war. And I was the mediator in the middle trying to get them talking again. Don't mention 25, Mary, please.
War.
Stay with me for 1 second. I want to go to Mary Coyne. Mary, you're involved, you're chair of the Active Retired, so your morning to you.
Good morning, Keith, how are you?
Would you, no matter yourself, would you be classed as a blow-in now, or would you have roots?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Mind you, I am over 20 years in Bush Park, but I'm still a blow-in.
I'm over 30 years in Kirkcullen, and I'm still a blow-in, so I am. To the natives, but I mean, it's great. You have a very active retired group, 131 members?
Yeah, we've more wanting to join now as well, and very active members they are. We have activities all week long for our members should they want to go. So we have activities starting on a Monday. The text goes out on a Sunday evening. So from Monday we have knitting and crochet, we have card games, we have Pilates, we have sing-along. We have a walk in Dangan with coffee and chat, and we have Conversation Irish. There's a book club. I'm probably missing something here now, but we have something all week long, and then we have line dancing as well, and chair yoga. Then we have outings as well. So we've been to Strokestown House and Áras an Uachtaráin. We went to the ploughing championships. And a lot of our members are very active in actually facilitating in the pastoral centre, and also arranging the outings.
How do you whip them into shape then?
It's not that difficult. I'm kind of
are
very
you strict to your
no,
person.
No, I'm very easygoing. You see, this is the thing. I sit back and listen a lot of the time. So they're. I'm a fantastic committee, all right? It's not my committee, it's a committee. They're just brilliant, yeah. And we meet about once a month and chat about what we want to do and put it out there to the members. And it all it all seems to happen, and not the 130 are at all the activities, but certainly there's something there for everybody.
So if somebody wants to, I mean, say Phil Kincannon did want to join the Active Retired, not that you'll ever retire, how do you go about joining it, or how do you find out more about it?
Right, okay, so yeah, you can go to any of the committee members and they will register. We have a fantastic secretary as well, Kathleen Burke, and Kathleen submits the names, and Mary Lockman is our chairperson, and our treasurer, sorry, and she collects all the money for registration. So then we're affiliated to Active Retirement Ireland.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the registration costs €20, but 12 of that 20 goes to Active Retired Ireland for administration and insurance.
Yeah.
Is a big thing
Which
as well.
Needed, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely required. So everybody just—it's word of mouth, Keith, really, because you know, it's the Bushy Park area, but it's the greater Bushy Park area, I would call it, because I suppose we have members from, you know, outside of Bushy Park as well.
So it's a good social outing. It's a good
social outing. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, 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 it is really. Yeah, yeah. And I was talking, we had a summer lunch last week, and the members there said, you know, we really look forward to getting the text on the Sunday evening. And I was thinking, is this a nuisance for people, you know, because there's so many messages we're getting, you know, now in text and WhatsApp, but they actually love to hear what's going on, you know.
In this type of weather, I think you need to do it. So if they want to get further details, they contact you or Mary Lockman or
Phil Kincannon or
Has she an unofficial or an official role, Phil, now?
Oh, Phil is a committee member, yeah.
Is she?
Oh, she is, yeah.
So contact Phil. Everyone has Phil's number.
Everyone knows Phil.
Even the guy that Siocona has her. They have her number, so they have. Mary Coyne, thanks for popping into us today. I want to go to Mike Geraghty, who joins me as well. And Mike, you've been living in the Newcastle area for how long?
Yes, Keith. Morning, Keith. Morning, listeners. When I was born in Newcastle, so apart from a few little breaks, I've lived there most of my life. I think maybe 4 years in Renmore, 2 years in Clybourne, the rest of the time in Newcastle.
And it was a different Newcastle then when you were growing up.
It was, yeah. I mean, there was no Myola Park, you know. There certainly wasn't anything happening past us. There was all kind of gorse bushes and, you know, rough terrain.
The Franks were beside you, though.
The Franks were beside me, yeah.
And they were very important.
Well, the Franks were great because we could play football down there all the time. And you could see the odd fox running across. It was really lovely. Of course, the engineering building has taken over that now.
Yeah. It's a changed Newcastle, but there's a lot of history in Newcastle. Go back to Myola Park. That was built, was it, by Udros na Gaeltacht?
It was, yeah. Mainly for Udros employees.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Keith, early 70s when that was built.
It would have been,
yeah.
Late 60s, early 70s.
Late 60s, early 70s, yeah.
Yeah. So that there was housing for them?
Yeah, there was housing for them. And then you had Fairlands after that.
And there was no Continental Bridge or anything?
No bridge. I think, was that 85 that came in?
Yeah.
So it was very, very different. I mean, from my end, I live in 24 Upper Newcastle. I used to have a great view of the car, believe it or not. And when you looked out, you saw all these fields. And, you know, now it's all houses and factories.
So if you looked out the back window, you'd have seen the car up?
Yeah, fantastic.
Of course you would, Jerry, so close to it.
All you could see was a few fields, but apart from that.
Can't see anything now?
No, there's the business centres at the back. And then you've got NUIG itself, the engineering building.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What we're left with, I'm glad to say, is the car walkway. So that's fantastic for people who stroll every day.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a lovely facility, so it is.
It's great, yeah.
And we know you from NVL, the video store.
Yeah, that's right.
You were you were very much to the fore on that. It was a brave move.
Yeah, well, I was one of the first independents. I set it up in 1986 and was there for 20 years. And believe me, after 20 years, the market was dead. You know, so
it had changed, though.
Yeah, well, downloads and everything, and the return of the cinema. You know, the iCinema and those cinemas were on go with the Omniplex. Had people gone out to the cinema again?
Yeah. And what did you do with all the stock eventually when you shut down?
I basically gave it away. I sold the DVDs and I gave away the VHS to different charities. So that was quite a few thousand videos. And the worst part was moving the stuff. Not so much closing down as moving it, you know, because there's a lot of stuff to get rid of. Yeah. Some of it made its way to my garage and basement, but I had to dump them in the end.
Just to move them on?
Yeah,
just to
because
make space.
Very few people have a VHS machine. Mm. I mean, I've got one, but it's in the attic, so you just wouldn't use them.
Yeah. You dabbled in politics as well?
I did. That's right. Yeah, I've run a few times around the local elections.
Are you going to go again?
No. I think I've given the electorate enough times to elect me, so it's not going to happen.
I thought you were going to go again. I thought you were going to give it another go. No.
No, no. It's, I mean, there's a lot to the campaign, Keith. You need a good team. You need people to come out with you virtually every night. And you got to cover enough out of ground.
But did you have a lucky escape by not going into politics?
I know, I would have liked it. I mean, the first time I missed it by 20 votes when I ran for the PDs. And after that, then it was all independent, you know. So I did okay the second time, but the last time, no. You know, the vote was too low for me. So I couldn't see a way of building it up.
And tennis is a huge part of your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm a tennis coach. I coach in Mary, and I play in GLTC. And a couple of good ones coming up. We have the Parks Tennis, which is a cut price coaching for kids. It's in Westside and Crestwood and Carra from the 3rd to the 28th. So I'll be coaching in Westside. At the moment, I'm coaching adults for free in Westside on a Wednesday night. And also in Mary, we'll have the Parks from the 8th to the 18th of August.
Further details from?
Well, the Eventbrite is where you're going to log on to it. And we'll have posters up and all that kind of stuff.
All right, Mike, thanks for popping into us today. And congratulations.
No,
Newcastle is absolutely wonderful. Mary, the last word in this section goes to you, so it does. Would you take up the old tennis, would you, by any chance?
No.
No. You don't have time because you're farming.
No, thank you.
Trying to make money because you can't get a pension.
I don't have time for tennis, actually.
You don't? No. Are you that busy? You are.
I leave that to Mike now. He's
well. he's looking for further victims, so he is. That's what he's doing. Listen, guys, thanks, Eddie, for joining us. Mary Nestor, Mary Coyne, thank you for joining us. Again, 131 members in the active retired. Well done to you. And Mike Gertie, thank you. And it's official, Alan Cheevers. He's not going in the forthcoming local elections. It's now official. So you can stop telling me he is going. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these. It's a Friday morning live from Cree. We're with you right through with Community Matters until 12 midday.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome in. We'll come to you live from the Cree, beautiful Cree house here in Newcastle. It's part of Community Matters, and we have three other gentlemen to join us. The former mayor of Galway, Martin Quinn, joins us, as does Seamus Davey, who's chair of the Newcastle Combined Community Association, and Patrick Power, who lives in Bushy Park and is a senior director of R&D with Aerogen. Martin, first off to you, though. Morning to you.
Morning, Keith.
You're looking well, former
Thank
mayor.
You.
So you
Thank you. The old makeup is good, you know.
It is, yeah. Norrie does a good job early in the morning. I was talking to Mike Gertie there, and he didn't succeed in politics. Do you miss the old politics?
Yes and no. I did maybe the first year, but, you know, you have a chat with yourself and you look around. I still had the day job, and my kids were young, and I'm getting them through college and that, so... That's all behind me now, thank God. So we're relaxing a bit. So I'm glad to be helping out Seamus here with the Newcastle community effort, you know.
There's a great community here. I mean, you'd be a native of College Road, but you mean you've spent all your life here in Newcastle?
Yeah, in 82 we moved in into Dangan Heights. I was living in Tyrone before that. And there's a fabulous community there. And I suppose... Dangan Heights was the last housing estate on the Mike Cullen Road as such. Mm. After that, you go into the out where the rich people live, where they're all one house per acre. it was a very good community in the Bushy Park. You see,
most I'm flat when you say that, but anyway, go on, yeah.
No, like in Bushy Park, you see, I'm remarking, thinking about Bushy Park, where it's St. Joseph's Parish, but in between you have the Cathedral Parish, and then you go down past... not quite sure, on Newcastle Road, you get back into St. Joseph's Parish again. So it's unusual in that regard, you know.
Seamus, where are we with the community centre, can I ask you?
Well, we are very positive at the moment. We've had a number of false dawns in the past. We applied for the URDF funding, but unfortunately we're unsuccessful because the criteria was changed and we didn't fit within the criteria for that. So there was a lot of disappointment then, but we have been applying a lot of political pressure, and I have to compliment all the politicians in Galway West who have assisted us to set up this new fund for community capital bill projects there, and we got that through in the budget 2022, and it's open for application in March, and we are currently very busy working with Galway City Council and our consultants to complete the application, which needs to be in before the end of the month. And please God, we will on this occasion be successful and get funding. We have all of our design work completed for the project. Our architects and engineers have done great work on, in that respect. And so we're shovel ready, ready to go as soon as we get the green light in terms of funding. We got the Galway City Council last month approved a motion for match funding. So we are approved by them, and it's just to get the Minister, Heather Humphreys, to approve it, and we're ready to go.
And the site for it then is just beside us here?
The site for it is just right beside us here, and you know, we have been working in conjunction with Cree here and the Educate Together National School and St. Joseph's Special School up the road in planning out the overall layout and design of all of this so that it fits into the community and meets the needs of all the various elements in the community, the residents, your last speaker there, active retirement. We have had discussions with them to ensure that they will have a role and yeah, opportunity to meet there, and also the businesses there, like Aerogen. We would welcome any meetings in our place when we have it built there too. So it's to cater for the wider community, the residents and the institutions and businesses.
Martin, you've been campaigning on this with the guys for a long time, so you have. Will it become a reality?
Oh, I would hope so. I would hope by the end of next year it will be. They'll be putting the paint on the building out there, the finishing touches.
Okay.
I would hope by next year, because there's been a lot. This has gone on at least 30 years.
At least.
And we inherited this. It's really, it was the demise of the Westwood that kind of started us up again. We need a facility in the area, you know?
Yeah.
So, That is what, and so, Seamus took me. We got a great leader here in Seamus. He's done fantastic work, and the amount of work that man has done for this area.
So,
and when it comes to fruition, when that building is built, and we're jumping to the point, as he said, we're shovel ready, and that's what the politicians have been demanding from us. And we've gone to Dublin, we've met them in Dáil Éireann, we've met them in Galway, and now we've got great support from all the politicians in Galway West, all the Oireachtas members.
Mm.
And
Can I come back though to, I mean, you have lost Westwood, which is a loss, but I mean
big loss, yeah.
It's a fine student village. So Caelan's opened and is not open now. This whatever shenanigans going on there. So there's you've got Glenlow, and then you've just got Galway City. So
and we've lost the bank as well in Newcastle. You've the AIB, you know. Yeah.
What's going in there? Do we know?
I think the college bought it. So there's some planning, there's some big developments in the college for students, study centre, I think, going in there on that road. So maybe it may not be in that building, but I know that is, they've applied for planning there for something. So it'll be, you know, and the student population are very good. I mean, like the Westwood is fantastic, beautiful building, well done. But there's a fierce loss in the community in that the Westwood, the students are there and they have all the facilities of the college, whereas the community now have nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like, and our bus service, another thing that's...
We're coming back to that later in the programme.
Yeah, yeah.
Martin, thanks for joining us, and thank you for joining us. I want to go, though, at this stage to a young man whose dad, 25 years ago, started Aerogen, Patrick Power. Sits up to me. Morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Aerogen is a great success story.
Yeah, well, it's one of those 25-year overnight success stories in that for the last 20 years, it's kind of probably in the Galway community, it's probably been a bit below the radar, whereas the last five, it's really been an uptick of success. So we've had 23% year-on-year growth for the last, I think, 15 years now.
Wow.
So it's growing rapidly.
Year-on-year?
Pardon?
Year-on-year?
Yeah. So we've around 500 people around the globe now. We had most of our commercial team in last week, staying in the Dean. So we had people from India, Japan, the US, China, all over the world. We have offices now.
And again, from a COVID point of view, Aerogen, you were there at the coalface when it came to innovation.
Yeah, it was a very interesting time in the respiratory sector, in that all the respiratory companies were absolutely flat out with huge demand, and there was a huge contribution from our staff, people working weekends, people coming in working the line, engineers who, you know, never done line work, coming in working the line for huge hours in order to keep product going out to meet demand.
And where is your key manufacturing plant then? Is that in Dungan as well?
We do a chunk of it across town in Parkmore, and then we do more down in Shannon.
Wow, so you've got satellites.
Yeah, there was a big effort. I've been there so long now, I think you kind of lose touch time, but probably 15 plus years ago, to pull as much of our manufacturing back to Ireland as we possibly could, and that we had a lot of manufacturing in the Far East, and I think there was kind of... there's a business logic for it, but there's also kind of a moral imperative that if you can create local jobs, you should. So we pulled as much as we could back to Ireland.
Wow. It's a great success story. It really is. It really is. Give my regards to Dad. I mean, he had vision. He really had vision.
Yeah.
25 years ago. When is that celebration, 25th?
That's ongoing for the entire year. So there's a lot of different events happening throughout the year. We're also using it to highlight our 1% pledge, where we give 1% of staff time and also 1% of profit to charities, a lot of them within the local area.
Be careful, no Seamus Dave, you'll want some of that, so you will. Listen, thanks for joining us today, and well done. It's a great success story.
Thank you very much.
And well done to all. Again, in the community here, let's take a short commercial break. We're back and we're joined by the former postmaster and councillor, Billy Cameron, just after these.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're coming to you live with Community Matters from the Cree building here with the Bushy Park Newcastle programme today. Can I just remind you, by the way, that we're giving you a chance to win right now in association with the Ardalan Hotel and their wedding showcase taking place this coming Saturday, tomorrow, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. And we want you to send in today to our text line number today, which is 086 38 33 553. Send in the word honeymoon, please. Send in the word honeymoon and be with a chance to win, because somebody today will be getting themselves an overnight stay in the bridal suite with dinner in the Camelon restaurant for two, and full use of the leisure centres and all that goes with it. And it's valued at €500. But if you want to pop into them tomorrow for their wedding event, you can do so from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. or call Zara now on 091 519 703. I'm now joined by Billy Cameron, indeed, who's a former postmaster and indeed a former councillor. And Billy, you've been living in Newcastle most of your life. I know you started in Shantala, but most of your life you've been living in the Newcastle region.
It would have been the mid-60s, Keith. Dad and Jack formerly had a business in Bohermore, but they went their separate ways. And we moved to Shantala. Jack maintained the business in Bohermore. And then after a few years in Shantala, we moved to Lower Newcastle. He bought the house and the business from a Burke family who moved to Ballinasloe. And it was a small business originally. He broke into the house and extended it. And eventually he got the post office. The post office was originally within walking distance of us, beside the university as well.
Yeah.
And he eventually applied for the post office because the present postmaster was resigning or whatever, and yeah. He got the post office, small, tiny little post office. My sister operated it down in the back, a little cubby hole, when things were not automated. It was all hand-done. Books for pensions rather than social welfare cards. So, yeah, then as the years progressed, And the shop went down because of supermarkets and whatever. Dad more or less concentrated on the post office at that stage, and we moved on.
What was Newcastle like then? Because I saw a photograph recently from the college, where all that was standing there was the college, the hospital was being built. There was no west side, there was none of that there. What was it like when you moved in there and you were growing up?
All I could say, it was a heaven to live near the university, because once you walked in where the entrance now to the Millennium building is, yeah, you had a few terrapin buildings. Then you had a hockey pitch, a grass hockey pitch. Then you had the Perse Distillery canal.
Yeah.
And the next was the Corrib.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went in that gate and walked straight on, where the James Hardiman Library is now,
yeah,
and the Millennium Building. You walk straight, you got to the river, maybe to climb over one fence, and that was it. And then if you walked up along the river to your left, you had the Franciscan College,
yeah,
which was really the heart of the community then. We were lucky to have the Franciscans there because there was a hall.
Mm-hmm.
It gave an opportunity to the parents, and you must remember that Newcastle was a vibrant, young community at the time.
Yeah.
There was no Greenfields, there was no Myola Park, there was no Laurel Park. Once you walked up Snipe Avenue, to the top of Snipe Avenue, and a good mate of mine, Jerry Flynn, he lived there. That was the last house before you walked through the gorse.
That's right.
All the way up the hill to Circular Road.
Yeah.
There wasn't a house to be seen.
There was no Siobhan McKenna Road, there was nothing there. Can I go back to, I mean, was the Mass Path there then at that stage? So you'd have had the Flannerys, the O'Byrnes, they were all there.
Correct. And I suppose one of the leaders of the group of friends that I had, even though he was a few years older than me, was John Flannery.
Yeah.
A gentleman.
Still is.
And still is. There was a shed at the back of Flannery's, and that was a meeting place at times. But John was a bit of an idol for me because John, he went on to play with West United.
Did he?
And that was an achievement. Like Newcastle lads, even though in down the line we had the likes of Johnny Glynn from Greenfields captaining Galway United to a cup final. We had Jerry Mullen from Myola Park playing with Galway United. They broke the glass ceiling,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah.
But before that, it was John Flannery playing with West, Brian Dalton playing with Salt Hill. I played with Salt Hill and West. And then you had Donal Hegarty played with Salt Hill. So, yeah. And I suppose that originated really because we had a football pitch in the Franciscan grounds,
yeah,
along with tennis courts and a basketball court.
Had you open access to them?
Open access.
The Franks didn't mind you going in there?
Not in the slightest. No, unless you... And we did it. When Dad got a few bob together, he enrolled us as members of the Corrib Rowing Club. And you could go down to the rowing club, get a Randan. That was the rowing boat. We called them Randans. Yeah, yeah. And you could row up to the Franciscans. We swam in close proximity to the Franciscans. Wouldn't recommend it, but in these days with health and safety and whatever. But that was, yeah, we were gifted in that respect.
Mm.
Tennis courts, basketball courts, and a hall for discos, and the football pitch. And the relationship between the Franciscan community and what became St. Anthony's Club.
Yeah.
A youth club, but equally, we had a bit of a soccer team. We played in the street leagues. There was a brother, Senan. He was a patrician brother. And for some reason, he might have been assigned to Newcastle as a mentor or whatever. He was involved with the Gaelic side of things. But most Newcastle lads went on to play Gaelic with St. Michael's, and they still do.
Mm.
So, yeah, we were lucky. But getting back to the orchard, and I think young people these days are deprived because they don't have that coming of age of raiding
an orchard.
Whereas we did. We rode up the river, stopped at the Franciscans, and we'd run in. There was one particular brother. He was a brother, Kenneth. And he gave the best chase ever. So I think we annoyed brother Kenneth, but he knew damn well who we were, but he wasn't going to tell anybody about it.
Just growing up at the time. And Distillery Road was there at the time.
Distillery Road was there, and one of the prime men in St. Anthony's Club was Jimmy Kelly.
That's right.
Jimmy went on to become president of Galway United.
That's right.
The year they won the cup final. But Jimmy, and I always said it, I said it to Bernie, his wife, on her 90th birthday. I said, Bernie, if I could have had a substitute father, it would have been Jimmy Kelly.
Yeah.
He was very unique. What was it, Corbett's he worked in?
He did, he worked in Corbett's.
Corbett's, yeah, I remember
in the store in
Corbett's,
yeah. I'd say...
And Gus O'Toole was next door.
Gus was next door.
Gus and Margaret next
and
door.
And Margaret Kenny. Yeah, that's right. You're bringing back memories to myself.
Yeah.
But, that's yeah, and when you think of the amount of families that lived on Distillery Road, whereas now there are only...
Three, I think.
There's Joyce's.
Yeah.
Summers. And, Joyce's. There is... And Clark's, Mixie Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Mixie was involved with NUIG and
that's
the
song. Right, yeah.
But yeah, happy memories. Happy memories.
There were good memories in Newcastle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you still live there?
Still live there. And I'm not heading for the sunnier climes or Spain or anywhere else. I love Newcastle. Always did. It gave me a great living. And I always thank the people of Newcastle for support in the post office.
Mm.
And in other years then, when the estates like Corrib Park and Fairlands and whatever were built, they always supported us. And we must remember that our president lived in Newcastle before Circular Road.
That's right.
And I also know that he lived in Renmore, but he lived in Fairlands Park.
That's right.
And the Joyces next door always remember him and always reminisce about the time he was there. Mm. Yeah. And I think he welcomed, was it Daniel Ortega or some Nicaraguan president or whatever? And he visited Fairlands.
They're the memories.
Yeah.
Billy, thanks for joining us.
Not at all, Keith. You're very welcome.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.